call the meeting of the Board of Trustees, March 18th at 6:15. We're going to start the meeting. We're going to start by oath of office for Holly, because we couldn't do it at our work session. So, do we have that for Holly?
I think she has the oath in front of her.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
She gave it to me.
You want to go ahead and just read that? You don't have to raise your right hand.
Okay, that was
awesome. You can.
I swear that I will support the Constitution of the United States and the Constitution of the State of Minnesota, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties of the Office of Trustee of the Great River Regional Library System according to the best of my judgment and ability. And I'm Holly Lammers, by the way.
She's official. She did make the work session last month. So welcome, Holly.
Thanks.
Next, we have number three, appointment of the executive committee member, because we are short one member. We have six on there already. I can actually appoint people to this, but I wanted possibly to see who might be more available. So the executive committee meetings kind of come up fast sometimes. You have a 2 to 3 day notice on those, usually?
It's the typical open meeting notice, so yeah, maybe a week.
Okay, but it's kind of difficult if you have a regular job during the day or if you're not flexible. So people that would be available to become the seventh member of the executive committee would be Al, Laura, Greg, Terrell, and Tina. So would anybody really be burning to want to be on the executive committee? Because it's a great honor, too, right?
Yep.
I don't think I could give that short of a notice, because I do work full-time during the day. So
okay,
probably not a good fit for me at this time.
Okay.
I can probably do it if it doesn't. I mean, it depends what else I got.
Okay.
I mean, this is what I do for a living now, so.
Okay. Anybody else want to throw their hat into the ring here on this?
I'm just saying I can do it. I'm not saying,
okay.
If somebody really wants
well,
it, I'm
if
not
anybody
gonna,
speaks up,
I'm not going to arm wrestle for
you
it.
No, I could say you're it, but I prefer that.
I could probably do it too, but as Greg knows, there's some months in Tina, and I mean, there's some months that we can't do it in 2 or 3 days' notice.
Okay.
It all depends upon what else is going on.
Okay. And we don't have to have all seven members present to
just
be
a quorum, but
so it'd be nice to have you flexible. Well, since Greg said first, I'm gonna say Greg.
I think
let's
that
give it
great.
To you. And then if it doesn't work out for you, we'll say.
If I never show up, you'll probably want to replace me.
Well, Terrell was second on mentioning that she
I
could
was
possibly
just
do
trying
it.
To be available.
Okay, so
it works either way.
So Greg is on the executive committee because he was the first to say he could possibly make it. So thank you, Greg, for stepping forward.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, congratulations. One more thing. Number four, adoption or amendment of the agenda. We, Karen's got one we'd like
we've
to
got
add.
A couple of changes. We'd like to move the open forum, or the, I'm sorry, the closed meeting 14.3 to after the public open forum. And then I would also like to add under other 14.4 new business and the resolution in support of Minitech's library services and an update on federal issues.
And those are on your on the
table
at your spot. There's two different things, federal and the Minitech's. So, are there any other additions, questions? Otherwise, hear none. I can call for a vote. All in favor of approving the agenda, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Number five, approval of the minutes from January 21st. Is there any questions on the minutes? Do we have personnel minutes in there?
Yep.
Oh, okay. Yep.
Do you want to run them together, Madam Chair?
Yep. Yes, I'd like to have those as a block. The board minutes and the personnel committee meeting minutes.
I just have a question.
Go ahead.
Do we have February minutes too, or do we always?
It was a work session.
Work sessions don't have minutes.
I know. It's confusing.
Thank you.
So it's just the January 21st meetings.
I'll make a motion to approve that.
Tina, is there a second on that?
No.
Greg, any further discussion on that? Hearing none, we'll call for a vote. All in favor accepting both those sets of minutes, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. Number six, we have public open forum. We have a couple people on the list here today. Heidi Kroll, if you'd come forward. And
I'll take the
mic's not on, so you'll have to turn it on. Wait till it turns green.
Trip. Well, Heidi, you'll have 2 minutes to, once Karen starts the timer.
Okay, hello. My name is Heidi Kroll. I'm a library patron, an employee, and a resident of St. Cloud. So this is my library in more ways than one. I'm speaking today about the public open forum sign-in sheet that's up for your approval tonight. I was present for your discussion at the last meeting, and I see some of the changes that address your concerns raised then. My issue is where it says speakers must address library-related topics not already on this meeting's agenda. I disagree with that exclusion. People read the agenda and attend if they are interested.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm sorry, it is on the agenda tonight?
Well, yeah, that's kind of my point. Like, when do we get to talk about it then?
The feedback would come, the point of having it not on the agenda is the feedback would come prior to a meeting.
But we didn't know this was going to
be on. You could do it via email or the website. You could call board members directly. The best practice is not to address things on the agenda, but if you have other things to say, you do have additional time.
No, only about this. I just don't think that's right. I think people come to talk about it when they see it on the agenda.
Thank you. And next we have Tiffany Person, if you come forward, with the topic of budget and safety.
Which may also be on the budget or on the discussion this evening. My name is Tiffany Person. I'm a St. Cloud resident and St. Cloud Library employee. And as the board enters a season of budget considerations and union negotiations, I'd like to express my firm hope that everyone involved in the process will seize this opportunity to continue to build toward a new chapter of administration and staff relations. I have not worked in the library world or in a union setting as long as some of my coworkers have, but I can say in the 6 years I've worked at Great River, I've been surprised and at times disheartened to see the kind of cross purposes sometimes arising between administration and staff that I'm used to experiencing only in a corporate setting, where those in charge are separated from the general workforce, not only physically and financially, but also at times philosophically in their approach to the organization's mission. While the upcoming budget and union decisions may be reflected in numbers on a spreadsheet, in the end, it's not numbers or a spreadsheet being managed, but rather people. And so I'm appealing to you, not just as managers, but as people, as you'll be determining the level of income, safety, and benefits we'll experience at work. Although for those of us who are lower-level employees, it may tempt you to give our consideration a lower status. I wish to remind those present that we are patrons and taxpayers as well. Finally, one concrete way to show consideration for low-level staff is to provide training and physical safety measures for those most at risk of death or injury should another shooting occur. It's been more than a year since the event in the parking lot here, and so I'd like to please ask that in the upcoming budget, it include active shooter training for our next all-staff day, as well as the implementation of any physical safety improvements still in the works. Thank you for your time and consideration.
Thank you. All right. So next, any other open forum? There's nobody else signed up, so we'll close the open forum. And now we are going to move to legal, is on here. So this is a closed meeting. No? Yes.
Yep, the closed session. Do you have the checklist, Patty? Or
so we will.
No. Okay. Sorry. I can maybe pull it up too.
No. I got that. So because this is a closed session, we will have everyone leave, right?
Or yeah, no? We'll need to close the meeting first.
Okay. So.
We have to make the motion first.
Okay. Yeah. So I make a motion to go into closed session.
You stated why we're closing.
I think do what it says pursuant. You need the statute.
Yeah, okay. I can read that.
So
far.
It's exactly on
page 2. So we have a closed meeting for labor negotiation strategy in pursuit of Minnesota Statute 13D.03. So, is there a motion to close the meeting?
Yep, I move.
Ed, is there a second?
Oh, sorry.
Greg. Any other discussion on that? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor of closing the meeting, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. So we're going to close the meeting. I'm announcing that the closed meeting is closed and the open meeting is reopened at 7:30.
Okay, thanks.
Don't have to say our names or anything again. All right, we're back to number 7, the financials. 7.1, 7.2, and 7.3 we're going to take as a block. The bills were emailed to you, and there was an addendum on the table. Any question about the bills? And then the financial reports were emailed also. And then we have a current letter of credit. Oh, yeah. Was in the packet.
Amy, do you need that letter of credit separate?
It doesn't need to be go separate. That is that pledge of assets that goes beyond the FDIC limits. Okay. It changes.
Okay. So is there any questions, comments about that? Otherwise, I'll call for a motion to accept the financials as a block.
I'll move that.
Ed? Greg, second. Any further discussion on that? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. Next, we have the consent agenda. And that's 8.1, page 15 in your packet.
That's the actual report we chose not to make 15 copies of, but if you want to see the full data set, it is available for your review.
Is it in the packet?
No, the signature page is in the packet.
Right.
That's the report.
If you'd like to.
Oh. I can pass it down there.
Do you want to give us just a quick update of what's in there, Karen?
This is something we're required to do with State of Minnesota Receiver State Funding. It shows all of the circulation statistics and other statistics for each library in the system.
Cool.
Yes, and we do that every year.
Yes.
So is there any further questions about that? Otherwise,
it will be once it's approved in the state processes, but if you want that, you could take it.
We don't post it ourselves.
No, we don't post it ourselves. It goes on the state website.
State website. Oh, okay. All right, thank you.
Okay, this is an action item. So are there any other questions on the Minnesota Public Library annual report? Hearing none, I'll ask for a motion to accept it.
Make a motion we accept the annual report.
Laura, is there a second on that?
Second.
Tina, any further discussion on that? Hearing none, call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 8.2, we don't have anything there. Other? On to 9.1, communications, anything
Nothing.
There? Nothing. 10, no presentations tonight.
Nope.
Staff reports, 11.1, page 17 in your packet.
In the interest of time, do you have any questions about any of the staff reports? I trust that you can read them all in full.
Sounds good. So then we're on to committee reports. 12.1, the Finance Committee. Tina, you want to give us a little synopsis of that?
Not so prepared.
We can help you out with that.
Sure. I mean, I could look, through the agenda.
Like,
we just kind of, minutes. We reviewed the signatory share factor table just with our basic starting point. If you guys are familiar with it's in here.
The
formula for every county and how those are, how it funds our library. So, and how that moves and calculates based on the different factors, including your property value. Is it valuation, tax? No.
Net tax capacity, population, and borrowing numbers.
And borrowing numbers from the library. So,
three-legged stool.
And it just kind of fluctuates a little bit year to year. And like we talked about earlier, like with ag land, that last year it was other valuations, and it just kind of fluctuates, which affects counties differently, depending on your demography. So. And then looked at the base budget overall. We talked a little about message B, how we communicate and talk with our patrons when they didn't turn their library books back in or their videos. Or and how that service and how effective, and so expanding it a little bit more. And then looking at just our spending balance, our fund balance spending that we already have in place and how that looks and affect the budget this year. So a little short summary. Anything else?
No, just you can move for it. The chair.
All right. I'll move to approve.
I'll second it.
Okay, any further questions for the Finance Committee? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. All in favor accepting the report, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. 12.2 is strategic plan that we've been working on. Laura, did you have an update on that?
I think
we assigned you and twisted your arm.
Yeah, so we came up with a timeline, you know, and we've met two times. We just met this last week. We plan on meeting again on March 26th. I've enjoyed it. It's been nice having, you know, the four of us board members and staff from each of the branches. And so I've enjoyed listening to them. They're very passionate about their jobs. They're very knowledgeable. And I think they are to serve the customers. And I think that's really great that they always have them in mind. So, we plan to have everything hopefully completed the 26th. We do have some subcommittees that are also meeting but they're, you know, using the core values, the priorities, you know, that we've established with the literacy access and library awareness. So I think they're doing a good, you know, we're all doing a good job of being cognizant of the goals. And so hopefully we'll present April 15th the work session. So that's
April.
Okay.
Do we want to do a work session? I guess that was an open question, right?
I don't know. So if you guys want to hear something,
can we add it into our regular work session? Or
yeah, it's
separate?
Scheduled. It was just,
okay.
Are we doing it? Was kind of the question.
Yeah. We're already going to be here. Right?
Yeah, unless you need to go home and do your taxes. No.
hopefully they're done by then. Okay. Thank you, Laura. Karen, anything else to mention on that?
Strategic plan? No.
Yep, you've been the leader of that.
Everyone's doing a great job of doing a lot of things at one time. So
12.3, Central Minnesota Libraries Exchange, CMLE. We have an updated website that's really fun to look at now. They have been treating us great at resource training and solutions. We have our own finance person, our own IT person. They just are a class F organization. We do have our grants are still available. Some of the people here have talked to their people that they know, and they have received grants. There's still $40,000 left that we'd like to get used up by July 1st. So if you know someone that would like to possibly apply for a grant, would be great. We updated our fund balances policy. We also have approved our strategic plan consulting proposal, and we've also revised our social media policy. So that's kind of what we've got. Yep.
Real quick again, what are the qualifications to be a library for the loans? That you sent that out, right?
For the grants.
Not
it's anything like furniture, anything to make it comfy in your library, books.
I can send that out again.
And we're updating the guidelines again.
Okay.
always updating the guidelines. Because this is all going out to the schools now, like to the principals, superintendents, and they're asking who your library people are. And then they're going to send it out to them and say, we have this money available. So it's going to go fast once it gets to the right people.
So is it only public schools or could private or any library? Okay.
Any special library.
Special libraries, like historical societies, like Stearns, parochial schools. And then it's a lot of like the state conferences that you might know library people that would like to go to. Out of state, we give $2,000, and in state, we give $1,000. So it covers quite a bit of your expense.
And it's reimbursement. That's the one thing to know.
Right.
You have to front the money, which has been an issue.
Mm-hmm.
But we have worked really well with our community partners to make sure that they can front the money.
Yeah. There's lots of little guidelines. So like you can't give away the books or the product that we're paying for. So there's lots of fine little things that you can't really find that on the website. And so a lot of the grants do get kicked out, but the idea is reapply, tweak it, and send it back. We will get some nice things like Melissa's audiobooks. per
our library has gotten the last couple of years, the Annandale Elementary Library has benefited.
What's the name of that? Brixton or something? Brixton Library? No. I thought there was a small.
Oh, it's the Bendix.
Bendix,
which was the name of our old elementary school.
Right.
Yeah.
And they've been granted quite a bit. All they had to do
is
just
that the name
ask.
Of the library? And then I didn't know that.
So that's it for CMLE. next on our list is number 13.1, Fund Development Committee Member Job Description. I'm sure you saw that in your packet. Any questions about that? We don't have Brianne here to talk about that today.
No, that wouldn't really be her. At the work session, we reviewed this job description in February. It is the last job description in the system that doesn't have the diversity and inclusion statement. So the board members asked that we bring this forward for consideration.
Okay.
So any questions about that? Hearing none, would someone like to make a motion to accept that new policy or revised policy, I should say?
I'll move to accept.
Okay, Melissa, is there a second?
I'll second.
Al, any further questions about that? Hearing none, call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion carries. 13.2 is the open forum update.
It's in your packet. That was based on feedback from the work session.
So what was actually updated? Because,
Holly, do you want to talk about that? You were closer to this than I was.
What page is that on?
It's on 40.
40, page 40.
Okay.
Missing the zero.
Yeah, I had a couple
do
comments.
Do you want
mine? Because these are the updated ones right here, on here.
I don't know if we use this. You know more than I do.
Today? Did we use the new one today?
I don't know.
No, we did not use the new one today because the board had not seen it, nor had it been approved.
But the one on here is new.
Yeah, this is incorporating suggestions from February.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I don't know.
You want the old one just for reference?
Yeah.
The old one had all of the same information on top. It was just laid out different. The only addition is the statement of the board chair. That was a recommendation
from legal.
Legal review. Yeah. The note on the bottom is what the board had recommended as far as being able to contact board members should they not have time to speak.
Or if they get cut off, like possibly like tonight.
Yeah.
Because it was already
Brianne
on the
internet. Created the QR code. And so this was what we, this is definitely a draft. If there's something else you would like to see changed.
I kind of wanted this in bold writing down at the bottom, just
all have the entire statement.
No, just the first sentence.
Oh, just
I
that
think
first part
about if time doesn't allow.
Okay.
We might need to cut things, like if we have a big closed meeting coming up or something.
Well, one other note: someone had suggested having something that they could pick up and take with them because this stays here. I did talk to communications, and they would be able to do what they call stuffers, which is a quarter sheet,
mm-hmm.
and then that would have the QR code, and they do a great job of making things look very nice. All I need to do is give them the information that
we want
good. On it.
Like a stuffer.
Yep, and then so it would be quarter sheets that they can pick up and take along.
Good. That sounds like a good idea.
Yeah.
I do have a comment related to the comment made here, and because I've never really read it before, can you tell me why they can't speak on a topic related to the agenda? Because, I mean, I've been on city council, and we don't do public comments at the county board currently. But that is the whole point, that a lot of people come and they read the agenda and they want to just add their comments. It's all structured. But I'm just wondering the why. I mean, I know it's been on there. I know it. But I just, why would we do that? What would be, where is the limitation?
Well, we have it stated at the top here.
Yeah,
I know.
It's been the practice
I know that, but I'm just asking why.
I would. I'm trying to recall.
I would remove that if it was up to me. Because we want to engage with the public, and we're putting limitations on it. You know, if it's they're going to repeat the same thing.
Yeah.
We don't want to hear that. You know, just share and coordinate together if there's something. But I'm just curious. Because, I mean, there's a lot of public money that gets funded here, and people should have the opportunity to address something within their 2 minutes. to the board.
I think the best practice, it's not just Great River, that this is a practice. This was a recommendation from legal. I think...
There was a comment about public hearing.
Yeah, it's not a public hearing. And so we want to avoid the appearance of a public hearing. And there are other ways to address the board. So I think that's part of the issue, is there is a concern from a legal perspective about if you only have 10 minutes mm-hmm. and you only have space for 5 people and you have 10 people who want to speak, then you have to have limitations so that those people who have taken the time to contact the board in between meetings don't feel like they have been slighted by the people who, you know,
I'm not saying take away any other ability to. I like what we're doing with the QR code. I like more communication than mm-hmm. less, mm-hmm. to be honest. And how do you sort, like, which topic someone's going to talk about? Well, they just won't go up if it's already been addressed, right? I would assume.
That's not what's happening here. No,
that's why we have a chair.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I was going to get at.
Move on.
Right.
I mean, you know, Ed,
you just use that discretion, but I'm just kind of.
In our county, if you're the chair and we've got a large audience, and if somebody wants to speak, you know, they'll kind of raise their hand and we'll let them speak. But if the next person comes up and says the same thing, then we announce, if you're going to come up and just repeat yourself, we're going to close that part of the meeting. If you've got something different to say, and it's totally to the discretion of the chair to run that meeting.
Yeah.
And it seems to work. I mean, every once in a while we have, you know, 2-3 people that want to speak on a subject. And if we think they're going to be way out there or whatever, you know, it's like, okay, you can come to the podium, but we got the right to cut you off and, you know, everything else that goes with it.
Yeah.
Do you have a 2-minute thing on yours?
No, I really don't have a limit. We've never had to limit them.
Because they had a chair like you.
Well, no, I mean, it started way back when, you know.
Okay.
Yeah.
The chairs. And even like today, we had a heated discussion and somebody from the newspaper wanted to speak. He wanted to ask questions. And I allowed it as long as he was precise and was directing the question to the person involved.
But Sherburne's got a pretty well-used public forum.
We just tell the group that, I mean, if there's 40 people signed up, that, you know, if 30 of you are here for one thing, then, you know, you should send up 1 or 2 people, because we're not going to, otherwise we're not going to listen to everybody. And, you know, no campaign type stuff is allowed. No attacks on staff is allowed. And, you know, we tell them that the board is not necessarily going to respond to their concerns. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, if they are coming to talk about something that is before the board that day, they're not going to get a response. Mm-hmm. And it's not going to be part of, and it can't be, legally, it can't be part of your decision, mm-hmm. right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's, and if those things are covered, then you're fine. And people can come and talk about whatever they want. Nobody's been coming lately, so I'm getting kind of lonely about it.
Really. We'll send some over.
I don't know if it's something I did or if I'm not bathing enough.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I guess if the board wants to explore whether that's advisable, I can ask the attorney again.
Yeah.
I had already asked her for her opinion, and that's what's been presented here. So if we want something different, I wouldn't be comfortable moving forward without legal looking at it a second time if we're changing it.
Okay.
I think, just to add my 2 cents in there, I think I would agree with Tina. I'd like to know what the legal reason is for it, because I do think that it gets a little bit, because even the second speaker tonight brought up something about the negotiations. Well, that is technically on our agenda, but she didn't get.
It wasn't. Otherwise, I would have cut her off. She was talking about the budget, which is on finance,
and
but
security.
Was not on the
okay.
cohort.
And security.
Okay.
Because
so,
they write the topic,
yeah.
so we move
okay.
on ahead of
yeah.
And it says board is not to respond back.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
I guess,
and I'd be consistent with
yeah.
that. Like that,
okay.
I agree, because it's, you
yep.
know, you're not going to get into a debate. It's,
yep.
it's not, this is just a forum for the public to speak.
But usually people mm-hmm. show up based on what's going to be on the agenda or in a workshop. I mean, because people want to, I mean, they're going to. Yeah, I mean, we're going to probably have a bunch next time because we got a thing. Going on, it's important, and that's fine.
It's on Sherbert County,
not,
you mean?
Yeah,
not
you're talking about
I mean,
Sherbert
yeah,
County.
My next, I'm saying on ours, you know, we're going to probably have a whole bunch of people next time. And they're going to be there to talk about what we're going to be talking about, you know, at the meeting. It's a road issue, and road issues are big deals.
Yeah.
But I think legally, unless it's a public hearing, that the agenda items are not to be discussed.
Mm-hmm.
That's the way the city of Albany operates. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I think that's why it is the way it is, but I can find out for sure.
I would suggest Karen calls the attorney.
Yeah, and I apologize. It may be in the email she sent me, but I didn't bring it along because I didn't realize we were going to have a discussion about it. So I want to give you that one, too.
Okay, and
got
the stuffers.
That's legal.
As Patty called them stuffers, she named it.
It's not urgent.
So we're not going to vote on that tonight. 13.3, any other business?
No, not unfinished.
Okay. 14, new business, project evaluations, 41, page 41.
So last time Jeanette and Kara presented on the project evaluation for the pilot assistant, and I mentioned there we are trying to be more deliberate about bringing things forward as we're to the end of a project. There are two evaluations here for you to look at. One was the American Rescue Act. We received some funding. We added laptops for people to do telehealth. You can see what that is looking at midpoint. I think they're going to try some new strategies. It was a cool idea, but is it actually working? Not so sure. Local tablets was another idea that was funded from the 2018 designations that I had mentioned at the Finance Committee. So the board at that point wanted to begin spending down the reserve and asked for us to bring forward a bunch of projects that we thought would move the library forward. The tablets were added at all locations with the idea that they would be used for certain things. They did come in handy during the pandemic because then we had a device in every library that was very portable. But what we're finding is some of those tablets haven't even been turned on in a year. And so we're probably not going to replace them.
These things are taking over the world.
Yeah. That being said, the DEI team did do a survey recently of the number of languages spoken across the desk, and a number of survey respondents from the staff said, I wish I had a tablet so that I could run Google Translate. And so things come full circle. But
what did we find out about that device?
They're still looking into it. So Long Prairie, this is a tangent, but we had a meeting with the new mayor and city clerk from Long Prairie just talking about library stuff related to the strategic plan, and they mentioned that the municipal liquor store has this handy AI gadget for like $70.
It's on their counter, right?
Yeah, and it does what Google Translate does, but doesn't need to connect to the Wi-Fi. So we're looking into it to see if we can get some advice from the municipal liquor store as helping our patrons. But, you know, you just never know where you're going to find that negative truth. So, Yeah, so these are not an action item, but we did want to be closing the loop on some of these projects that were funded a while ago and just put in the record what happened and are we doing them again or not. And so that's what they're here for.
It's not a question on the laptops. How do they do that? You know, what happens if they don't return them? Do they have to?
They have to use them in the library.
In a room,
reserve.
But
yep.
Can't they walk away with those pretty easily?
Most of these places aren't that big.
Okay.
Elk River, I guess, kind of is. But they're right next to the... They generally check them out with a study room. We only place these laptops in libraries that actually have a study room.
Okay.
And so there's a staff member managing that room somehow. And
is there time limits on how long they could use
it? I don't think. I don't know.
It's too far.
It depends. Yeah, I'm not that far in the weeds.
Okay.
Sorry.
I'm shaking your head no.
Okay. Yeah, I know somebody in the audience who has one.
Thank you. So, okay, that was not an action item.
I think we're to the thing I wanted to add. Right?
Yep.
Well, the policy
revisions. Oh, yeah, policy revision. So this is our continued cycle of updating policies on a three-year cycle.
Page 49.
We did not do Chapter 4 from administration last time because I wanted to make sure we were aligning it with the other policies that refer to information freedom. So this policy lines up with what we did with collection development and what is also stated in patron services. We'll add those and security, I guess. So we're going to add some of those references in here and made sure the language was consistent across different policies. This one wasn't as far out of date because we did do it in 19.
And this is an action item. Any questions for Karen on that? Or otherwise, hearing none, would someone like to make a motion to accept the policy as rewritten, as updated, rather?
As updated? Is it?
As proposed.
As proposed.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll make that motion.
Ed, is there a second?
I can second.
Second. Holly, any further discussion on this policy? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote to accept. Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Okay, now we're on to, we've already done 14.3, we moved up. And so now we're on to 14.4, other. This is where we added those three sheets that were on the table about Minitex and the federal issue.
Yep.
Karen, want to...
So,
I'm
not even sure where to begin. In front of you is a resolution to support Minitex Library Services. Minitex is the state agency housed at the University of Minnesota. It receives a good proportion of its funding from state library services, which subgrants to them for the purposes of resource sharing, which includes our interlibrary loan, our Elm databases, things like that. On the first level, at the state level, there is a shortfall in Minitex funding. So there is a bill that has not got a bill number yet for Minitex operational funding. The legislative request is a $1.5 million increase per year for Minitex operational funding. That has a chief author in the Senate of Senator Eric Putnam. No bill number yet. They are also requesting eLibrary Minnesota resources to increase to $2 million per year. I've been told that they only have a couple more years worth of deficit spending that they can do before this becomes a dire issue for them as an institution. So this is separate from any federal issues. They're just deficit spending. The RFP for eLibrary Minnesota will be coming up in 2 years. So if there is not an increase in funding, it's likely the number of resources available to free, which is not just public libraries, it's schools, academics, will likely be less. So there's that, which is partly why you have this resolution that is being placed in front of all 12 regional library boards for consideration over the next couple of weeks. The other thing that happened, if you were paying attention to federal news on Friday, the IMLS was targeted for reduced funding or decreased funding. We're still trying to figure out what that means. I did receive information from Maggie Snow at Minitex. So this is a description of all the things Minitex does. But I also received this from Tammy Lee from State Library Services. This kind of breaks down where all federal funding comes from for libraries in the state of Minnesota and where it goes. So the federal funding comes in under the LSTA grants to states. Most of that goes to Minitex. Some of it gets subgranted. So some of the subgrants are things like the MinLink Gateway grant we received to help support interlibrary loan delivery from here to St. Cloud State, St. Cloud Tech College, and St. John's, St. Ben's. They, as partners, also pay us for that delivery. So there are two funding streams that support us doing that work here at Great River. There also have been LSTA grants we've received. So you might remember when we contracted with Filson Talon Partners to provide some cross-cultural training and then update our job descriptions to make us more competitive in the workforce environment. That one-time grant came from that pot of money. And then staff salaries also is supported at the state library. So Minitex and the state library would be the entities directly impacted if the federal funding goes away. It sounds like there's a lot of uncertainty about what it means. Tammy Lee emailed me this afternoon her guess is that the LSTA's obligations to states that has already been awarded would not be pulled back. But this is still early days. Fiscal 24 funds would be good through September 30th, 2025. So through the end of September, fiscal year 24 funds would still be valid. But they aren't 100% sure that what they know is actually how things will work, because there's a lot of loopholes that we don't know about that are being used for different things. They believe that because the IMLS team, the grants to states program is in place for fiscal year 25, that it would be continued for another year at least. I've also read some of the things coming out from ALA. And there's different parts of the federal language that say shall, and some say may. And it's my understanding that the grants to states, and this is just my interpretation, grants to states falls under the shall when it comes to things like the interlibrary loan funding stream to Minitex. But I expect that there's like a Laura Bush grant that's awarded to different librarians for continuing ed, like those one-time grants to individual people or individual entities are under the May language at the federal level. So it's really hard to tell how this will impact Great River in the short term. When I think of federal issues, I think the more immediate concern is what might happen at the counties, because the counties are 70% of our funding stream. And if something happens there, that's going to hit Great River's budget a lot faster. But interlibrary loan is a core part of our business. Jamie let me know that last year we had 14,498 patron requests through MinLink filled here at Great River. And just this year, we have a link on the website that's called Suggest a Title, and patrons can ask us to buy something. 16% of what they've asked for, we've interlibrary loaned instead, so we didn't have to purchase it. So it's 925 items. You can do the math. That's only a quarter of the year. So it's a very heavily used service. What I expect is there will be some language coming that we can put in our interlibrary loan items to just let patrons know that if they want to let their legislators know that they value the service, that they can do so. But we are asking that the board consider passing the resolution.
We have an email list.
Right. Message B. Here we go. I don't know how much more detail you want for me, but this is an emerging issue. It didn't hit the packet because it happened on Friday. And honestly, like, I was scrambling just to get information from Maggie and Tammy in the last 24 hours. But this resolution is going to other boards in the next couple of weeks. And I wanted to make sure you had the opportunity to pass it if that's what you choose to do.
So is that a action item or this a consent?
This is an action item, and then okay. I'm not sure what we do with it next, honestly. I'd have to find out from Maggie.
You've been here a long time, Maggie. Karen.
Yeah, there is a statement coming out from Minnesota Library Association. I was hoping I'd have it by now, but it did not come through yet today.
Okay. So is there a motion?
I make a motion.
Accept it, Tina.
I'll second.
Thank you, Laura. Second.
Can you send a PDF so maybe I bring this before the county as well for support?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I can change it. So, yeah, if you want, I can send this to all your counties.
That'd be more. Great.
Yeah.
I think it would be.
Yeah.
Good comment. Any other questions about that? There was a call for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. I will sign this, and Melissa also will sign this, hopefully.
Thank you.
All right. And then we are on to 15, board open forum. Anybody have anything?
Well, I'll just add that Karen was before our board today, and I can't remember who you had.
Ben Thompson.
Wow, you could really believe in libraries when she got done with you.
I think she's still working the desk tonight. She had a long day, too.
Oh, yeah? So. Wow. I mean, I never seen enthusiastic like that. You could use people.
Jen Thompson.
Yeah. Yeah, cool. Jen.
Yep. It was great. That.
And I see there's a little green left in some people here. I like to see that. Out there, too. So any other comments?
I do.
Okay.
I had a conversation with their finance. It had to do, it's not, how should I say it? It was couched in discussion about fraud.
And this is your finance level. At?
Where? Yep, at finance at the county.
Oh, county.
And at the state level, and how a lot of these nonprofits have, you know, there's fraud. There has been fraud. I'm not saying it's just here. But I asked her, like, what, you know, we appropriate a lot of money to a lot of nonprofits and entities as a county to partner with. I mean, it's in the JPAs, JPEs. And I said, well, you know, they come once a year. We've scrutinized three, you know, more internal, like our History Center and our Economic Development Partnership. But I said, what do we do for our other entities where we give them millions of dollars? Like, do you want to see something when it comes to, not necessarily, she said, not the whole audit, but maybe a management letter, and if there's any findings. That would be really important for us to know. And I'm like, so we haven't done anything like that before? No, not really. Unless they know there's a problem, and that's too late, mm-hmm. in my opinion. So that was one of the things. I'm not saying it's coming. It was just a good start of a conversation because we've had, I'm on different boards where there was some findings last year, and it just had to do with internal controls. It wasn't theft or anything like that, but it's just good to know that they are getting addressed as well. And so just in case that moves forward in any manner, it's not in a negative way. It's just kind of an accountable, and so we're all like, on the same page if there was something that had happened and it needed to be addressed. But being that we're tied to you with appropriations, that's, you know, taxpayer money, and we're responsible for that. So just want a heads up, just in case that moves forward. Again, it shouldn't be a negative thing, but couched in that whole fraudulent kind of activity moving,
dollars, right?
You know.
So there'd be one letter, six counties?
Yeah. Well, yeah, maybe that's something worth bringing up with Schlender Wenner. They may be seeing it other places, so, you know, maybe we just send our management letter or our audit to everybody, or I don't know. It'd
and
have to be what they actually want.
Right, and I think, honestly, the discussion was just today. So it was just kind of more, she's going to think about it, and you know, I think it's something that should be. I think there's a piece in there that's important, especially.
Yeah. Well, and we have to do the audit by state statute.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But some of these nonprofits may not have the level of requirements that we do because we receive state money, too. So there may be, we would do whatever the county's needs. So just let us know.
I can add that there is some paperwork that I fill out for counties, and some counties are asking for those official statements to be returned with the funding request. So.
That's
not all of them, but it probably is coming. So it is something that we already do.
Okay, what are they sending you?
I'm sorry?
What have you been receiving from with some counties that they're requesting?
The budget requests, we sometimes will get, like Stearns County will send us a paper that says, tell us what you're doing, tell us, send us your annual report, send us your latest financials, and send us your latest audited statements. We do something similar for Morrison County as well.
Thanks, Tina, for bringing that up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Better to be ahead of the curve instead of behind it, like you said.
Yes.
Any other comments? Otherwise, I will adjourn the meeting.